Hey, isn't God good? Give the Lord a great big hand, would you? Praise God. So good to have Brother and Sister Lehman here. And I'd like for Sister Lehman to come and greet you. Sister Lehman, we appreciate your work for foreign missions, standing by your husband all of these years, traveling with him, doing missionary work. This is a great lady, and we want her to greet you. Good to have you with us. God bless you. Thanks for being in attendance.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. We're just so happy to be in Madison this weekend. It's always a blessing to see friends you've known for years. I've seen several people that we have met in the past when we lived in Wausau. But it's great to see all of you here worshiping our great God and Father. And I have enjoyed the worship because I can see that you are worshiping the Lord with all your heart. It says, worship the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And that's what we have to do and we need to do if we want to keep him right here in our heart and in our lives. We need the daily worship, the daily prayer, the daily reading of his word to keep us close to him. Because, you know, there's a world out there that is wanting you, that's wanting you in a great way. And those little things, they say the little foxes spoil the vine. The little things that come into your life can keep you from serving God. But I'm so thankful that if we keep our mind and our heart on him, that he will keep us. And we will someday see him face to face. The Lord bless you.
Thank you so much, Sister Lehman. Thank you so much, Sister Lehman. We want you to stand at this time. Brother Jack Lehman's been a friend of mine for many years now. And I love this man. I appreciate him. He's a man of great Christian character. He lives by Christian principles. He's been involved in mission work. He was at WC for 35 years. He retired there, but he only retired from office, regular office hours. He still does missions work. He travels around, raises funds for our missionaries. Now, this is a very, very important weekend. What we do in the form of pledges, what we do here will determine whether someone finds salvation or not. There will be many people that will find salvation as a result of us giving and us sending missionaries. Brother Lehman, you did a remarkable job this morning. We want you to come and take your liberty tonight. Give him a warm welcome, would you? God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It's great to be in God's house tonight. Praise God, praise God. Well, I have certainly enjoyed coming to Madison and being with Brother and Sister Grant. As he's mentioned, we've been friends for a long time and intend to stay friends. But it's just good to be in the house of God. And then good to see Brother Russell. We've known him for a number of years. And then to have him here, you are blessed. But I want to mention something that happened just a few years ago in one of our churches in Louisiana. There was a couple that moved to this particular city in Louisiana from Saudi Arabia. And, of course, that is a Muslim country. They came and they had a 16-year-old daughter who became close friends with some of the young people in our church there. And so they invited her to come out to service. Apparently, the parents didn't know where she was going because that would have been a no-no. But she came, and the very first night there, she heard the message. She repented of her sins. She was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, all in one night. (Clears throat) She went home from the service and told her folks what had happened. And that wasn't good news. Her dad placed a death sentence on her and was trying to go back to Saudi Arabia to carry out the death threat. Well, she was very distraught with what was taking place, and she knew they had a prayer meeting, ladies' prayer meeting at the church. I believe it was on a Saturday night. And she went, she slept, slipped into that service all by herself and got over by herself and got down and started praying. She started praying like this. She said, "Now, Allah, if you are God, then talk to me. I need to know what is the right way." And she waited. There was no answer. She shifted gears. She said, Jesus, if you are God, then talk to me. I need to know what is the right way. And as she waited, one of the other young ladies in that prayer meeting broke forth speaking in perfect Arabic, her language, in perfect Arabic. And as she began to talk, she said, "I am Jesus, and I am the true and living God. Follow me, and I will take you to heaven." That's pretty positive. That's pretty positive. So even as our young people are in school, you never know. You never know what kind of an impact your life, just the life that you live, has on other young people that are there. And those young people in that church, they had influenced her. And she was curious. She wanted to know, really, what do you have? What do you got? I'd kind of like to have that. And God met her need in a very special way. Now, you wonder, well, what happened? Well, they didn't get her back. They didn't get her back. She ended up marrying one of the young men in that church. And dad and mom are still there, but they don't have the influence on her now that they did. You know, God takes care of his people. God takes care of his people. And then I want to mention, you have an AIM couple that are going to be ministering here Wednesday night. A few years ago, we had another AIM couple. AIM means Associates in Missions. They go on a short-term assignment. They are not traveling missionaries like our fully appointed missionaries, but they go when they're home. They can go from church, various churches that open the door. But this couple was in, again, Saudi Arabia. He went as a worker, not necessarily with the church, but he was an AIM worker, a minister, and wanted to witness and testify to those that he came in contact with. Well, as he was there, he began to really have an impact on many people. And there were people getting baptized. There were people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. But he had to be careful how he would send an email to the office, because he knew if the wrong person got that email, he could be put out of the country. And so he devised a way of sending information so that the office would know what was going on. And in his email that he sent, he stated that the previous couple of weeks, he had taken 24 people swimming, and at least half of them had already passed their foreign language exam. We got the message. We got the message. That's our God at work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, it'd be nice to have somebody pass their foreign language exam here tonight. Maybe you'd like to go swimming. You know, it's all a part of the plan. Praise God, praise God. Well, if you would, turn with me tonight to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, and that's the last book of the Old Testament. And I trust you don't, turn your hearing aid off until I'm finished tonight. But I have felt this message, and I just trust that the Lord will help me to communicate what I am feeling, and that we can all get a better understanding of what God's plan is in reaching the world. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, and it reads like this. even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer was, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call ye blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. My title tonight is Thou Shalt Not Steal. I'm not your pastor, and he didn't coach me on what to preach tonight. But I feel this message. You may be seated. I trust that everyone was able to get one of these cards. This, many times people are fearful when you start talking about money. But really, money is what keeps things rolling. Our government is in trouble right now because of money. They don't have enough. They need a whole lot more. But when it comes to serving God, money is also a big factor in our walk with God, in our offerings, in our tithes, and in our faith promise commitment. Now, a faith promise commitment is where you as an individual, you talk to the Lord about how much He would like to channel through you on a monthly basis to help send the missionaries around the world. And this church is involved in world missions, which also encompasses home missions and probably other areas of the organization. But when you think about giving by faith through a faith promise commitment, many times people don't quite understand really what you're talking about. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. This card, this faith promise commitment card, and really how it's involved in sending this gospel around the world. Now, I'd also like for you to kind of take a look at the back of that front, the back of the card. And it states, in dependence on God, I will endeavor to give the amount circled below each month or week during the next 12 months for the support of the work of the United Pentecostal Church International. Now, tonight, when you fill this out, would you please check either month or week? Don't check both, because that's pretty hard to figure out how to count when you check both of them. But I feel that all ages can be involved in missions work. You say, Brother Lehman, you mean even the young ones? Yes, I mean the young ones. For example, I recall Brother Kilgore telling me of an incident that happened in his church there in Houston. In their Sunday school, every Sunday morning, they always took up a missionary offering in the Sunday school class. Well, there was a young girl that came to church on one of their buses, and she came that Sunday morning bringing three little flowers, not money, because her folks were not in the church and they didn't have any money, but she wanted to bring something for that missionary offering. And so she brought three little flowers to put in the offering. Well, when she got in the Sunday school class, she told her teacher why she had brought the flowers instead of money. She said, "Teacher, I had no money, but I wanted to give something in the offering." It really moved that teacher. At the close of the Sunday school session, the pastor went to Brother Kilgore and related to him about the three flowers. And he looked at her and he said, well, would you let me take those flowers to the pulpit this morning? He said, maybe I can get some money out of those flowers for the missionaries. He walked to the pulpit that Sunday morning and related the story. This little girl brought flowers because she had no money. And he related the story to the congregation. And then he asked this. He said, is there anyone here that will give me $500 for these flowers? Now, that's a lot of money. He was a brave pastor to be able to ask $500 for three little flowers. But it was for the cause. That's what he was asking them to give the money for. There was a new man that had walked in church that Sunday morning, seated on the very back row in that auditorium. That man stood to his feet. He said, I will give you $1,000 for those flowers. Before the service was over that night, that man was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because a little Sunday school girl wanted to give. She wanted to give. She didn't have a lot to give. But she gave of those three little flowers that she had. Now, faith promise is an exciting part of any missionary service. It's not just enough to hear what God is doing around the world, but we want to know how each of us can become a part of this end time revival through our prayer and through our giving. Now, most that are here tonight are acquainted with faith promise in one way or another. Now, faith promise, again, is simply asking the Lord for direction as to how much he wants to channel through you on a monthly basis. Now, faith promise works. It works when we walk with the Lord and are faithful with our commitment monthly. Now, it is so very important that we get the mind of God so that when we make our commitment, he's involved. Don't just grab a figure out of the air and write down, that amount on the card, but ask his direction. That's the key. Because you may say, oh, Brother Lehman, there's no way I can give anything. Well, that may be true. But with his help, he can channel funds through you to help support the missionaries that are around the world. Now, you know, as I mentioned, it's very important that you get his direction. But the key comes as we follow through with our monthly commitment giving. Faith can be high. It can be high when the faith promise is made. But as the months go by, it may seem harder to pay it. Now, maybe there is a reason. Now, I want to refer back here briefly tonight. I want to take a look at the Old Testament, where in Exodus chapter 20, God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments as direction for Israel to follow. Exodus chapter 25 or 20. They are guidelines back then, and they are still guidelines today. But it seems that so many struggle in following what God has directed them to commit. You know, it appears that even our president and other government officials don't want to follow biblical principles that speak against popular sins of our day. For example, abortion is not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. And, Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That is scriptural. That is biblical. Now, sin is raging because man doesn't want to follow God's guidelines. I believe that the AIDS epidemic of our day is the judgment of God being poured out upon this wicked generation. Sodom and Gomorrah brought God's wrath upon their cities, and God will not overlook this sin today. All you have to do is go to Genesis 19, and it will give you the story. Now, the scripture also tells us that thou shalt not steal. Exodus 20 and verse 15. Now, even the IRS enforces this. You know, if a person cheats the government and is caught, he may end up having to pay a penalty. He may have to pay what he still owes plus a penalty. Now, most of us understand what this is talking about, or do we? Now, stealing, the definition of stealing, is to take from another without right authority or permission, and usually in a secret manner. Now, have we ever overlooked something that is in Malachi chapter 3? It has a very interesting commentary dealing with this commandment. Israel was having financial problems, and they were told that they had robbed God. Now, they wanted to know, how have we robbed God? And they were told that they had robbed God in their tithes and offerings. Now, I'm not here tonight to preach about tithing, but if you're not paying tithing, you are robbing God. That tithing does not belong to you. We owe that to Almighty God. That's not ours in the first place. Now, that's enough said on tithing. But, you know, when you look at the scriptures, you realize that Israel had been spending God's money. They had been using the tithing for personal use. And when they were doing that, that's why Malachi penned the scripture. He said, you have been robbing God. Now, you may look at me and say, now, Brother Lehman, where in the world are you going with this message? We're talking about faith promise. We're talking about giving. Well, let me just explain what I'm talking about. Some months ago, after a Sunday night service where I had preached on giving, and when the pastor stepped up, well, I just stepped back and I just knelt down to pray and asking God to move on the congregation. And as I was there, God spoke to me that they had been robbing him in their faith promise commitment. From this standpoint, let me explain. You know, faith promise, again, I'm just explaining folks what faith promise is, and I will get around to tying it all together here. But faith promise is when you ask the Lord for his direction in your commitment, that he would like to channel through you and that you can be a help in sending the missionaries around the world. You are really asking the Lord to be your financial advisor. This morning, I mentioned the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I believe there's a reason why many people struggle with their faith promise commitment. Let me explain. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says this, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I have preached for years about the financial miracles that the Lord gives as people make their faith promise commitment. But not everyone gets a financial miracle. Not everyone needs a financial miracle. Because if you are asking the Lord, now, Lord, what do you want to channel through me for this faith promise commitment? And as the Lord directs, when we obey, that in itself opens the windows of heaven, and God Almighty does miraculous things. I was in a church in a neighboring state, Minnesota, in fact, in the Minneapolis area, and there was a man, when the commitments came in, the pastor just started reading dollar amounts. Well, one amount was $100 a month. And later he told me, he said, Brother Lehman, that will take a miracle because that person just doesn't have it. But within the month, that individual was called into the office where they worked, told by the manager that they had made a mistake on his pay and that they had shorted him $100 a month. And so he got that raise. He went to the pastor and he told the pastor what had happened. And then he said this. Now, pastor, he said, I'm only going to pay 1 month now. He said, then, you know, I can pay it, you know, later on in the year. The pastor said, it's the only month he paid the entire year. Now, what about that other 900? Was that his or was that God's? Well, when you think about it, God had already blessed that man with his year's commitment. And yet, instead of giving it And I suppose the reason he didn't give it, because he probably had some other bills that he thought, boy, I better pay these quick. I better pay these quick. But really, when we are willing to obey God, God doesn't stop giving with that $100 a month. God Almighty watches us as we give as he has provided. And when God moves and provides, it's amazing what God Almighty will do. I had two men in one service where I was preaching come up to me at the close of the service, independent of each other. They come up and they said, Brother Lehman, she said, you know, last year you were here. And they said, we made our commitment, but we did not pay it. But God had given it to us. We didn't just pay. We didn't give it for the purpose that it was given to us. And, you know, when we start taking that which God has blessed us with and using it on self, we're in trouble. We are in trouble because God is very concerned about our giving. I really believe that God watches every offering that is taken. I believe he watches. He watches me, directing me in my giving. I believe he watches you in your giving. He keeps track of what we give. And he said, if you will give, I will move on men to give back to you. The book that we have published has right at 200 testimonies of individuals across our fellowship where people have stepped out by faith. And when they made their commitment, it is amazing how God Almighty has provided. In fact, before ever I came with foreign missions in St. Louis, I pastored in Lancaster, Ohio. We had this program operating at that time. And we had many testimonies in that congregation. We had one widow lady that came to me after she had made her commitment. And she said, Brother Lehman, she said, I've just lost my job. And her last name was Bush. And I looked at her and I said, Sister Bush, I said, it's not time yet for the commitment to be received. I said, let's just see what God will do. Well, it was just in a matter of days, she had a better job than she had before. I had another man that made his commitment, and right after that, he lost his job. I didn't intend to talk about losing jobs tonight, but I didn't even have these two testimonies even in mind. But he came to me. He said, Brother Lehman, he said, I made my commitment and now I've lost my job. I said, Mike, I said, I believe God has a better job for you. And he came back in a few days and he had received a better job. But a few days later, he was back again. He said, I lost that job because they wanted me to lie on the job and I wouldn't do it. I said, Mike, I believe God has a better one for you. A few days later, he was back and God had given him a better job. You know, many times when you step out by faith, the enemy is not happy with what you've done. He wants to discourage you. He wants to cause you to feel, well, yeah, just because I did it now, I lose my job. No, God has something better for you. I believe this, folks. I believe what I'm preaching tonight. I believe that God Almighty is looking at each of us and he sees what we are willing to do. But when we back off, now, there was a man in one of our churches in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, and the pastor related this story to me about a man in the church that was doing well financially, with his job and everything was going fine. But they had a renewal service, and this man, no one paid any attention, but he didn't recommit that year. And it wasn't long until after that service that the man lost his job. And the pastor told me, he said, man, things just kept getting worse and worse and worse. He said, I got down to pray and I said, God, what is wrong with this family? Why are they struggling like they are? And he said, the Lord impressed him, you go talk to him about his faith promise. The pastor said, but God, I never talk to anyone about their faith promise. That's between them and you. He said, the Lord impressed him again. Talk to the man about his faith promise. So the pastor went and talked to the man. He dropped his head and told him, he said, Pastor, he said, I have been giving $200 a month with our past faith promise commitment. But he said, but this year I didn't renew it at all. The pastor said, that is your problem. And the pastor gave him a quick Bible study on giving. And that man started giving again. God started blessing and things turned out fine. But as long as he wanted to keep that 200 for himself, God could not bless him. But when he started giving to the work of God, God Almighty blessed him in amazing ways. You know, it's really amazing how God will provide with the faith promise commitment. I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and there was a widow lady in that church that she had asked the Lord for direction, and she felt so impressed with making a $50 commitment, but she really didn't have it. She wasn't well off. But she related that right after she made her commitment, she got a phone call from a store in downtown Colorado Springs where she had fallen a few months earlier and broken her dentures in the fall. And they called her and they said, would you consider a settlement of $5,000 for that fall that you had? And she said, oh, you don't have to worry. I'm not going to sue you. They said, ma'am, would you consider $5,000 for that fall that you had? Well, she accepted it, and she definitely had enough money to pay her $50 a month commitment. There's something about our God. He is not blind for what we are doing. God Almighty is right on top of all that we do, our tithing, our offerings, our faith promise commitment. But it's when we obey the Lord as he directs. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it so very exciting. I was in Carrollton, Kentucky, and there was a little boy in that church that he made. I'm getting two stories mixed up here. I was in Carrollton, Kentucky, and the youth pastor in that church had been in that church for a number of years. But he was now, youth pastor, and he stood up on a Sunday night of their commitment and gave his testimony. He said, when I was 16 years old, he said, I had a part-time job. And he said, God impressed me to make a $200 a month commitment. He filled out his card and turned it in. When he got home, his mother, who was the church secretary, she let him have it. She really lit into him. Son, do you realize what you have done? You have made a $200 a month commitment. You've got a part-time job. How in the world do you think you're going to be able to pay that? In his testimony, he said, I was able to pay it 11 months. And he said, there was 1 month that I didn't get it. He said, I got down to pray. I said, God, I just don't have the money this month. I don't have it. And he was asking the Lord. He said, Lord, I'd like to pay it this month. He related that he came to church that Sunday night, and after the service was over, there was one of the elderly men in the church came to him with an envelope, came up to him and told him, he said, son, he said, God impressed me that I was to give this to you. And he opened it up. It was $250. He was able to pay every month, and even the month that looked like there was a big question mark. God Almighty provided. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. That is what the scripture says. Now, you may not know how God's going to do it, but our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. Now, just how wild can you think? Because our God has promised in his word that he is able to do it. And if you simply give him a chance, he will do the amazing. I was in Cincinnati, and there was a young couple in that church they made a $50 a month commitment, and they had been, finances were very tight, but they obeyed the Lord as he impressed them as to what they committed. Well, the following week, this man's wife happened to get a purse that she had not used for a while, and she got the purse, opened it up, and there was a $50 bill in there. Man, she was so excited and told her husband, oh, now I can go shopping. He said, wait just a minute. He said, that money is for our faith promise commitment. They gave it that night and God continued to bless them. You know, when you give, You may give the very last dollar that you have, but God is able to provide all that you need. And I trust tonight that that as we talk in this service, that God will do amazing things. I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and there was a businessman that was in the city there. His wife was in the church. But that weekend, there was a Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night service. And that weekend, the husband came, the businessman came, and he heard the preaching. And then when the Sunday night service rolled around, he went to the pastor himself. He said, "Now, pastor," he said, "I will personally match every faith promise commitment that is made in this service." Now, I've never had that ever happen any place, and I've been traveling for a few years. But that's the only time I've ever heard of that happening. The man kept his promise that year. The next year in their mission conference, Brother Stuart, Albert Stuart from Liberia, our missionary there, he's been there for many years, and God has blessed in amazing ways. But Brother Stuart was talking, and he told him, he said, "I am making an appeal for a Bible school building that we need in Liberia." And he preached that night, and if you've ever been in a service with Brother Albert Stuart, he is exciting. He is a man that has been used mightily of the Lord. And when he made that appeal, this businessman went to the pastor. He said, "Now, pastor," or Brother Stuart told him, he said, "It's going to cost $80,000 for the Bible school." The businessman went to the pastor. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I will pay to build that Bible school in Liberia." He said, "It's going to take me 2 years to do it." He said, "I'll give $40,000 the first year and $40,000 the second year." God blessed that man until other businessmen in Fort Wayne, Indiana, started contacting him and said, "Man, what in the world are you doing? How is your business booming like it is?" He said, "You need to start giving to missions. You need to start giving to missions." He wasn't even in the church. I don't know to this day if that man is in the church. But he obeyed and God blessed. Now, what about your giving? You know, when we think about this card, automatically there's questions that spin in our mind and say, "Now, how in the world can you do that?" You know, I know that God speaks to various people with different amounts. Even in this service tonight, I believe God has already spoken to individuals and told them what they needed to commit. Well, you can argue with God if you want, but he already knows where it's going to come from. Your level of faith depends on what you get from Almighty God. There's a couple in the church in St. Louis. In fact, Brother Marvin Curry, who was worked at our publishing house back in the publishing department for many years. His son and wife were sitting in a faith promise service. Now, the son was kind of debating, "Now, Lord, what can we give?" But he knew he was going to get a raise. He thought he knew how much it was going to be. And so he made his commitment determined on the raise that he thought he was going to get. The first month, the raise didn't come through. He made his commitment, paid it. The second month, the raise did not come through. He paid it again. The third month, the raise came through, and it was a little different than what he thought. It was five times bigger than what he had anticipated. Why? He was faithful. He was faithful to God, and God Almighty blessed him. I believe God will do the same thing in Madison, Wisconsin. I God is not stymied by what state we are in, or what church we are in, or what city we are in. God Almighty is on the throne, willing and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Now, keep in mind the following. In making a faith promise commitment doesn't mean that you will get a financial miracle. I've already mentioned that this morning and tonight in this service. But God will do the amazing. In a church in, trying to think of the city in Texas. It's Ranger, Texas. Ranger, Texas. There was a lady in that church that worked for the Ford garage there in the city. And she had a car that was giving her a lot of problems. And she wanted to get another car, But at the same time, in that weekend missionary conference there, she was debating, do I just get another car, or should I make my commitment? Because she didn't feel like she could do both. But she made her commitment. It wasn't just a short time after that that, of course, let me just back up a minute. She, Ranger, Texas is a college town. And in that town, they had a lot of college students that roomed out, and she had opened her home up to several of those students from overseas. Some were from Saudi Arabia. And she had opened up, been very kind to them, and even let the students use her car a few times. Well, after she had made her commitment, one of those students from Saudi Arabia came back and was visiting there in Ranger, Texas, came to the garage where she was working, and walked in, and there was a beautiful LTD Ford there on the show floor. He went and talked to one of the salesmen there, and then he pointed to her office. He said, "I want to give this car," and he pointed to her office, to her. Now, I related that story. I was in a church in Oklahoma. I related that story, and when I was finished, an elderly brother in the back of the church stood up. He said, "Brother Lehman, that was my sister." You should have heard the congregation. You know, it was just a story until he said that. When he said that, the oohs and ahs, you know, it was really true. Listen, the accounts I'm relating, folks, are true. I can prove it, and there is something about our God. When we bring him into our financial affairs, he will do exactly what he promised. He said, "Give, and I will move on men to give back to you." And so tonight, what is it that the Lord is impressing you to give? Are you willing to respond as he directs? Because it is a step of faith. A faith promise commitment is a step of faith. And when you are willing to obey the Lord, he'll do wonderful things. And I'm nearing the end of this message. But a few years ago, Brother Mike Barnett, or is it Mark Barnett? Mark Barnett. I was there in Kenosha. And Mark's dad was still living at that time. But Mark and his wife made a faith promise commitment, and right after that, he lost his job. I don't know why I'm using so many illustrations on losing jobs, but I hope you don't lose your job. But really, it happened to Mark Barnett that he was laid off for over 1 year following that service. His wife gave me this testimony. She said the year went by. We were able to pay all of our bills, including our faith promise commitment. She said, we never would have known what it was like to trust God if it hadn't been for our faith promise commitment. You're awful quiet. I hope you're thinking. I hope you're letting the Lord speak to you and letting you know what he wants to do for you. Young or old, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. But if we are willing to just let the Lord help us. In fact, I was in a church where a 10-year-old boy made a $5 a month commitment. He was 10 years old, made a $5 a month commitment. And I was there the following year, and he gave me this story. He said, "Brother Lehman, last year I made a $5 commitment, and Grandpa started giving me $5. He said, this year I'm going to make it for 10. His faith was growing. His faith was growing. And I close with this. I heard the late Brother George Glass speaking to our missionaries one day at what we call our School of Missions. He related about a saint of God that was awakened in the night, and the Lord impressed him, "Go out on the back porch and sing, 'There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.'" And he pulled the cover. He went under the covers. He didn't want to do that. You know, would you? You know, middle of the night, go out on the back porch and start singing, "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood." But under the covers, he could not get away from it. God just kept impressing him so very forcefully. Go out and sing. Finally, he flipped the covers over and walked out and sang out loud on the back porch, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood." And then afterwards, I suppose he went back to bed. But early the next morning, there was a neighbor came knocking at the back door, the very door that he had been singing in. Went out there, and he probably wondered, oh, what's he going to say? He walked out, and there that neighbor looked at him and said this. He said, in the middle of the night, he said, you went out on the back porch here, and you sang, and the neighbor remembered the song. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And the saint of God nodded his head, yes. And the neighbor said this. He said, when you walked out on the porch in the middle of the night, he said, I was in my bathroom. I had a gun to my head and I was ready to commit suicide. But when you sang, I couldn't do it. You know, you don't always understand as God speaks what he has in store. But when we are willing to obey, he will do the miraculous. And you may have a lot of doubt here tonight, thinking, God, there is no way. There's no way I can do what you want me to do. But why not give God a chance? You know, there is one scripture in the Bible. Malachi, in fact, it's right in this particular setting that I read tonight, where there is a promise that, if we will obey God, he will hold back the curses on our goods, on our fruits, on our farms, on whatever we have. It is the one scripture in the Bible where it talks about, just trusting God, letting God have complete control, and he will hold back the enemy from destroying what he wants to destroy. So tonight, you have that card. Will you give God a chance? Will you just give God a chance to bless you? He wants to. He's willing to. But we've got to be willing for him to do what he wants to do. And so here we are. I'm turning the service back to your pastor to receive the faith promise commitment. And but I just looked at my notes here real quick. Let me give you one more testimony. In March of this year, one of our missionaries was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to Brother Keller's church. And it so happens that the missionary was there on a Wednesday night. It was Brother Vic Votal, who's been our missionary in Hong Kong. He's been into China. He's been into many countries. But before they turned the service to Brother Votal, they were raising money for a new organ. And they figured it would cost them $150 per key on that organ. And so they were asking the congregation to respond. And Brother Votal's wife was sitting on the front row in that service. And she stood up. She said, I'll give $150. They said, oh, Sister Votal, you're the missionary. We don't want you to. This is for us. She said, listen, don't cut off my blessing. And so they paid their commitment the next morning. Brother Votal was driving out of Fort Wayne. And there was a truck went by that said Votal Electric. Well, you know, the name Votal is not quite as familiar as Smith and Jones and some of those others. Well, Brother Votal was excited. He said, he pulled the truck driver over. He said, I want you to take me to your boss. So they took him to the boss, and Brother Votal went in and introduced himself. They talked there for a while. And the owner there of Votal Electric asked him, he said, well, what do you do? And of course, if you know Brother Votal, that's all you have to ask. What do you do? And he started testifying. Before he walked out of the office there, that owner sat down and wrote out a check for $1,500 and presented it to Brother Votal. That was 10 times what his wife had given in the service the night before. She gave $150, and that Votal Electric gave him $1,500. God sees what we do. Are you embarrassed with what you do? Or you want him to bless you richly? God bless you.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you have your card, and several people have already filled these out, and we're going to do this a little different than what we did this morning. Pastor Roy is going to come. When you fill your card out, just get up and bring it down and give it to him. We're going to be reading these off. Now, we will not put the name on them, but the amount. This morning, we had 2,000, $2,755 per month, I think. $33,000 a year. Now, one thing about Calvary Gospel Church, and I have not been able to figure this out concerning missions, is that when we pledge, our missions giving ends up sometimes twice as great as the pledges. I think it's because when missionaries come by and present their needs, we are moved by that. We give quite a bit to the missionaries when they come and also to the special projects that they have. But I am determined that we're going to make this the best year we've ever had as far as sending money out to missionaries. We've been struggling with our church plans, struggling with getting up a new auditorium, spending a lot of time in prayer, revisiting what happened when we moved out on this property, and also when we built this auditorium. I remember making a pledge to the Lord that this is going to be the best year ever, and it was the best year. We had a record-breaking year for our giving, and at the same time, God blessed us with this auditorium. Now, I'm not doing that solely as a strategy to get the building built. But I do think that just like in your own life, when you step out and you say, I want to give, and things are given back to you, I think that that same principle applies to our church. I would like for us, for World Missions, this next year, to give $150,000. Now, the Antigua work and also foreign missions, this year we gave like $90,000+. But I just really believe, I believe that we can do that, and I believe God would be pleased with that. Now, this is separate and apart from your tithe. What your tithing should be when you get your W-2 form from your employer or your 1099 or whatever form. Take a look and see how much is there. You should be given 10% of that for your tithing. That should be your tithing. Okay. But above and beyond that is given to missionaries and the other causes. Now the offering that we taking pledges for will be taken monthly, usually the first Sunday of the month. This is separate and apart from our Christmas for Christ, our She's for Christ, our Mother's Memorial. So while our praise singers are singing, I want you to just bow your heads, and I want you to really reconsider.